But in this encounter, you were awarded...
I was awarded the Silver Star.
Silver Star.
Yeah.
Have you already talked about that, what you did? Because I have it here.
Well...
That you ran from a covered position, manned a machine gun, all the while being subjected to murderous enemy fire to cover the withdrawal of the company.
Well, that sounds like it was from the award that I was given, because covered by murderous fire was one of the phrases that they commonly used. We were covered by fire, but that's...
Is that overstated?
Overblown, yeah.
It does come from the award. That's what I'm reading from it. And you showed remarkable leadership.
Oh, well.
Leadership in organizing the defense, the house in which the squad had taken cover, and in taking care of the wounded until relief arrived. His brave action was instrumental in enabling the company to reorganize, attack, and capture the village.
I've written about that. There is a regular segment of the regimental headquarters company that is assigned how to word those things. And they have a regular glossary of terms they use, right, and you can recognize them there. You'll never really know what happened from that kind of award.
Are you saying this?
I mean, they always use, those are stock phrases. Essentially, it's true. But it's much
more
glossed.
Yeah, it's grandiose.
Grandiose. What happened was, Cassidy had this machine gun. He's the company commander. He'd just been promoted because Lamson, our company commander, had been wounded in a booby trap. Yeah. And so he was new, but I was astounded. He didn't know how to fire a machine gun. It's not hard once you know. I mean, there's no guard, there's no nothing. But he brought it to me. I don't mean he was looking for me. I don't know. We bumped into another, but he had the machine gun, and he gave it to me because I had been a machine gunner, and I lay down and fired at the enemy. He immediately, as company commander, skipped back to get his troops. We were already retreating, and he wanted to go back with them and encourage them. But there were numerous wounded right by me behind the building where I had been. But it was dark. Black dark, except for the fires, buildings burning. In one building, there was a coal pile burning. But I fired at the Germans, and he thought I drove them back. I didn't know I'd done anything great. I was firing a machine gun. Hell, that's what I was supposed to do. And I did fire at them right in the face of it. And, of course, they could see where it was dangerous in that they could see where the machine gun fire was coming from because of the flashes. So in that sense, I would have been a target. But anyhow, we spent the night in a building there, isolated from the rest of the company, which had retreated two or three blocks back, and they thought we were all captured or killed. And there were about 30 of us in this building, and they were tickled to death. The next morning, when they came through and renewing the attack, the Germans had gone. They came across us, and we hugged each other and had a big reunion right there, but they had thought we'd been captured or killed.
What you've described, you'd say to yourself, it was no big deal. It was all part of what we do in battle.
Yeah.
And somehow this commander must have liked you then.
Well, Cassidy thought that I'd really done something unusual.
And so you had done something. I don't know if you're being...
It was unusual, yeah.
But I don't know if you're being humble here or not, but you didn't think it was extraordinary. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, I just thought I did what I was supposed to do. But I will say that the rest of them... At the time, the guys who came in thought I had saved something.
Okay.
It wasn't just Cassidy.
All right.
Because we weren't firing back at all. And I was all of a sudden firing machine gun. Now, the German machine guns fire almost twice as rapidly. We could tell an American machine gun from a German because it goes, there's a brrrr. And, of course, we had heavy weapons behind us, the heavy weapons platoon behind us that had water-cooled machine guns. They didn't dare fire because they didn't know where we were. They didn't know where the Germans were. It was dark. They couldn't see anybody. And so they never fired anything during this particular action because they didn't know who was where. So that was the only machine gun firing. And there may be a little bit of modesty on my part, but I was a little surprised to get a Silver Star.
But they
thought I deserved it.
You took care of the wounded.
Oh, well, that's true.
All right, so then
that's true. I was a sergeant, and there was nobody else in that building of the 30 who had a sergeant's rating, so I was the commanding officer, you might say, in that building for that 10 hours.
But the award calls you a second lieutenant.
I got a battlefield commission.
Okay.
About 3 or 4 weeks later.
You became a second lieutenant.
I became a second
lieutenant. Okay. Very good.
No, so, you'd have done better to waste your time reading my thing, because you ought to read it.
Were you given a Purple Heart?
I got a Purple Heart, but I didn't really earn that.
And what was it for?
I got a scratch right here.
On your chin?
Yeah, it's still there. It was part of an American bullet. I'm not even sure whether the rules at that time permit giving a Purple Heart for friendly fire. It was a mistake. Colonel Conley, after the war, our regimental commander, asked me, were you wounded during the war? I have a helmet with a hole in it. He had seen that. By that time, I'd been transferred to headquarters company, the regimental headquarters company, in Germany after the war. And he asked if I were wounded. And I said, no, I got a scratch once in my cheek. And I explained him the story, that it had been an American bullet, thinking we were Germans. And the bullet had hit the pillbox, and a piece of it, I presumed, had hit my jaw. And he said, well, did a first aid man treat it? And I said, he put a Band-Aid on it. I got a call that afternoon from his clerk, who said, Conley says, to give you a Purple Heart, can you give me a detail or two so I can write it in? I even gave him the wrong date, because I didn't remember when it was. It was about a month before, 2 months before, perhaps. So I got a Purple Heart, and I'm sheepish about it. That's why you ought to read that damn thing I sent you. You'd enjoy it. In fact, I wrote a whole separate article that's on under my name on Google that I wrote about the whole thing, because the pillbox was a German pillbox. Actually, it was not a complete pillbox. It was for the soldier protection walls this thick to protect them. But it was built by the Germans on French soil, facing the Maginot Line on French soil during what was called the Phony War. No action on the Western Front all of the winter of 1939, when the Germans invaded Poland.
Were they awfully anxious to hand out Purple Hearts?
Well, Conley, like,
why would they do that for something that, apparently, I'm going to take you for your word, was as minor as
happened? Well, he knew that I had been active, not just there, but other places. And I don't know, he just thought I deserved a Purple Heart because I'd had a scratch. And it didn't hurt him, of course, to have more Purple Hearts given. He was a colonel. He wanted to be a brigadier general. He eventually was. But anyhow, that's all in my... I think you'd enjoy reading that.
Well, I will. I just wanted to hear you say it. Okay. I could read it, but yeah. I wanted also to hear you say it. You've told it now. And when you hear that they cite you for having received the Purple Heart, then
I've told you the facts.
You feel kind of funny then, don't you?
Oh, I'm embarrassed. But you don't tell a colonel... Thank you. No. In addition to that, I had a selfish interest in it. Having a Purple Heart didn't mean anything. I mean, not to me. I didn't plan on running for office or anything. But it did mean 5 points on the way home. I got home probably a week early because I had a Purple Heart. Okay. Maybe 2 weeks. I don't know. That was months later.